You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Stephen Wilcox. Stephen is the founder and CEO of Pocket, a brand whose mission focuses on the enjoyment of the outdoor adventure. As an avid surfer, snowboarder, and all-around adventure guy, Stephen's travels took him around the globe. New towns led to new people, and he'd often find himself around a bonfire. On one of these many nights, it dawned on him that the products used around the fire could dramatically be improved. So Pocket's first product, the Voyager, raised more than $500,000 in crowdfunding efforts and is now soon to be found at campouts and beach days all around the country. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lunid, for having us. Excited to share Pocket with your audience and get in a little bit of the story about how we got to where we are today.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to have you on board. Go ahead and tell us about your journey and you know, how you got here.
Yeah, you know, you gave a couple notes to it right there in the intro. And, you know, I've always been an adventure seeker and all around kind of adventure hound. When I was in school, I studied abroad in Australia and did a lot of time traveling around that country. I've had the fortune to go to Indonesia twice, and I've spent some time surfing and living out of a van in Southwest Europe. And, you know, in all of those experiences, I've always found that you're going to meet people along the way, and you're going to get invited to certain events and do certain things that you wouldn't normally get to do if you had just kind of, you know, stayed put and stayed in your normal routine. And we just got exposed to this entire global community of adventurers. And one of the things that, you know, this global community loves to do is sit around a fire and tell stories of the big waves that they caught, or the epic snowboarding trips that they went on. And, you know, like the fish tales that everyone likes to say about the 300-pound tuna they once caught. And, you know, we're sitting around a fire one of these nights, and my buddy sits down in his chair and it just completely rips apart on him. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. Like, this is what we love to do. There's clearly a product problem here. There's something we can do to solve this. Let's go build the ultimate outdoor beach chair. And so that's what we set out to do with the Voyager. And, you know, it took a lot of time, and we had to restrict a little bit of the travel that we have, that we like to do, to make it happen. But the last 2.5 years, we put everything into designing the Voyager outdoor chair and getting it ready for the public. And this last spring, we released it in pre-orders on Kickstarter and raised a little under $500,000 in crowdfunding, which was just, you know, an incredible acknowledgement and proof of concept that our product is something that people want, and our mission of, you know, building community around the campfire is what we want to do.
I love that story. Just it paints a vivid picture of traveling and actually being free and relaxing and having the comfort, the chair to go along with that.
Absolutely.
What makes, now you said you released it earlier in the spring. So is it out for purchase, or is there a different launch date?
Yes. So it's out for purchase, but it's only available for pre-orders right now. And so for those of us who aren't familiar with Kickstarter, kind of, you know, Kickstarter serves as a platform that allows entrepreneurs and product designers to really throw a project out to the public. And if the public likes it, they're able to purchase the product at a discounted rate. Those purchases then create kind of the slush fund that's used to basically build the business. And so, you know, the $500,000 that we were able to raise in crowdfunding has gone directly into the product purchase with our factories, purchasing the molds for the different construction pieces. You know, a lot of the logistics and product design work that has to go into place are covered now, thanks to our backers on Kickstarter, versus having to go out there and find an investor and hand over equity stake in the company. And so, you know, we want to just, if anyone listening has been one of our backers, thank you so much for helping us, you know, achieve this dream. And if you are new to us, you're still able to contribute, and you're still able to score the product at an awesome discount, because pre-ordering is, you know, something we want to incentivize you guys with. You're able to save 20% right now if you purchase on Indiegogo, which is similar to Kickstarter. It's another crowdfunding platform. But all those funds go into us building the product and taking all the final steps to bring that product to customers here in the United States and around the world.
Yeah. With all the traveling, when did you start the project?
Yeah. So the initial light bulb. So basically, I'll back up a little bit further. In 2013, that was when I graduated from school and started working with action sports brands like Oakley and Quiksilver. And those brands really, you know, pushed and played a huge role in the inspiration for Park It and what we wanted the brand to stand for. And, you know, the people that within those brands are all global travelers. They're all like sports oriented people, outdoor enthusiasts. And just through that network of people, just spent a lot of time, you know, going to different events, meeting with different people around the world. And it wasn't until about 2017 that my buddy sat down and his chair broke and the light bulb went off. And then from 2017 till about 2019, I tried to design the product myself. And, you know, like my background is in marketing. I shoot content. We tell brand stories. We figure out ways to share a company's mission online and its purpose with its audience and connect with that audience. And designing a product was definitely something I underestimated. So the first 2 years, like I honestly drove around San Diego County, just knocking on the doors of woodworkers and metal shops being like, can you guys help us build this idea? And every single metal shop was like, yeah, like, no, we don't build chairs. We don't do this. Like, this isn't, that's not a thing we do. And so, you know, eventually just wisened up, put a note on LinkedIn that said, trying to build a consumer goods product, who knows how to design these things, and got connected with an awesome company in Utah called Klugonics. And they've really, like, you know, taken our idea and like owned it as something that's their own, and took our vision for it and turned it into reality, and could be more grateful for their work. So that was in 2019 that we started working with them, and that fast tracked everything to get us to the product launch in 2020.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic. And it's US made, right? So we have that backing.
It's actually being made overseas in China, but it is definitely designed in the United States. So, you know, we get to put designed in the USA, which is something we're very proud of.
Yeah. So there's comfort, there's durability, and it looks pretty good. I took a look at it and it's a nice and comfortable, good looking chair. What else makes it unique?
Yeah, so you touched on it perfectly. You know, somewhere along the line, the outdoor chair was really a focus of like, let's throw this thing in the back of my car and it's something I can sit in. And they're not good for your back. If you sit in one of those kind of the canopy ones that telescope in and out, it puts a bad curvature into your lower back, which is not good for you. The materials that it's made out of aren't very durable. So you constantly find yourself going back to Walmart to buy another one. And we wanted to really eliminate those main pain points. Those were the first things we wanted to disrupt. We wanted to build something that was comfortable, that you could sit in and enjoy yourself. And we wanted something that you were actually going to be supported in. And so one of the things that we did from a design standpoint was we actually really focused on the height of the chair. Mm-hmm. Where you in orientation to like where you're sitting. And we also wanted to put a lot of focus into the natural recline angle of the chair, and making sure that that was ergonomic for basically any standard, you know, adult male or female to sit in and find that they're sitting in a way that's not going to be bad for their back as they get older, which a lot of the chairs on the market don't have. The other thing that we wanted to focus on was like basically having everything you need within an arm's reach. And one of the things in the outdoor industry that's been a trend over the last couple of years that we wanted to disrupt is these really small chairs that people say are like, oh, it's the size of a water bottle. Well, when you look at the product, yeah, that's kind of cool. But is it really something that's going to be comfortable? Is it something that has all the functions that you want? Does it allow you to carry a cooler with your favorite beverages and some snacks inside? Does it have pockets for your cell phone or your tablet? Or your keys, because when you're at the beach, you know, you're in a board shorts or bikinis, you know,
right.
You don't have anywhere to put your stuff.
If it gets lost, gets buried in the sand, you're screwed.
Exactly. And we looked at what was on the market and we were just like, none of these things really solve what we want. And so that's where we like really went to the drawing board and we're like, all right, we want to make sure that it has like comfortable sitting design. We want to make sure it has the wooden armrest. We want to have the dual function cup holder where you can move the cup holder from the left side or the right side, depending upon if you're a lefty or a righty. And if you want to have double the fun with two drinks, you can get two cup holders and put them in the two cup holder slots. You know, like there's customization involved in it as well, which we're really proud of. The biggest piece of it that we really wanted to include, and this came along the product development story, was building a cooler into the bottom of the chair. Mm. And that cooler retains ice for 8 hours. It can hold 12 to 15 cans of your favorite beverage.
Wow.
And it's just a piece of it that we looked at and we're like, why isn't anyone doing this in a way where you can just be sitting in your chair, comfortably reach down, grab what you want, and kick back, relax, and enjoy yourself around the campfire with your friends and family as you tell the epic stories of the things that you've done and build that community in that environment. And it just seemed like a no-brainer for us. And we're really, you know, I would advise people to go check it out at parkitmovement.com. I think you'll like what you see. It's a good looking chair.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm in agreement with you. Now, you're not worried about the tush warming up the beverage in the cooler?
No. In fact, we actually, you know, that's a very funny point. We thought about that and we realized that it actually would work the other way around. When you're sitting on top of the chair, one, the cooler is insulated, so it has an insulated wall that protects it from the elements of the outdoors.
Yep.
But when you're sitting on top of it, you're actually functioning as a subtle umbrella, keeping the cooler in the shade as well. So it actually helps. It doesn't work the opposite way.
That's interesting. Okay. I had to check. That's interesting. Now, these are great attributes, right? Great characteristics to the chair, but that's not it. You didn't stop there, Stephen. You took it to another level. It's a movement because of the charitable work that you're giving, right? I believe for every chair that is purchased, a mangrove tree is planted.
Yes. So that is something that we are incredibly proud of. And so, you know, one of the things that we knew we wanted to do with this brand from the moment we started was get involved with 1% for the Planet. For those who aren't aware of what 1% for the Planet is, 1% for the Planet is an organization founded by the founder of Patagonia that allows companies and other businesses to basically source and partner with nonprofits that align with their mission and their purpose. And so, and it's scaled, you know, if you're Patagonia and you're doing X amount of hundreds of millions in revenue per year, you're working with some of the largest nonprofits. If you're like us and you're on the startup side, you're working with the startup nonprofits. And so it allows companies to build partnerships with, you know, equally staged nonprofits and help them grow together, which we're super excited about. The nonprofit that we partnered with is a organization called Sea Trees. And what Sea Trees does is they have multiple projects around the world where the brands that they work with, for every purchase one of the brand's products, one tree is planted. And so the project that we're involved in is in Biak, Indonesia, which is an island to the northeast of Bali. Most people are pretty knowledgeable about Bali, I feel like, these days. So to give you some reference of where it is on the globe. Mm-hmm. And the town there, what we're able to do with every sale of the Voyager outdoor chair, we're able to contribute funds to plant one tree in that community. And what that tree is able to do is a multiple things. One, it provides jobs to the local community of Biak. Two, when you plant those trees, the areas where they're planted in are areas where there's, you know, ecosystem kind of like declination. The ecosystem's not as strong as it used to be. And so by planting those trees there, what you're able to do with ocean level rise, and even if, you know, let's say a storm rolls through, those trees work as a barrier and in some forms of a wall to protect the community and keep the storm surge down and keep the community safe. The third thing that these trees are able to do, and this is one of the things that we're really excited about from a sustainable standpoint, is that these trees actually sequester 4 times the carbon of a normal tree. So if you go out and I see a buy one plant one for an evergreen tree, and you know, I don't want to knock those types of organizations because I completely, you know, stand behind what they're doing. You know, they're kind of a 1-for-1 part per million in the air. Mm-hmm. The mangrove trees do 4 times what those pine trees do. And that's, you know, an element of when you look at what we need to survive as humans and what animals need to survive, we need oxygen levels to be strong. And by planting these trees, we're converting 4 times the amount of carbon into oxygen than any other tree that we could have partnered with. And so that's the part with Sea Trees and Parkit that we're really excited to see move forward and continue to expand, not only because it helps the community, but because of the sustainability practices that allows us to have as a business.
Indonesia is one of my favorite places in the world. And
have you been able to go?
I have been. Yeah, I've been in Ketut. I actually went so I can meet. I was in Bali and I wanted to meet Ketut, the guy, the medicine man. Mm-hmm. And I went there and I got to see the volcanoes, the rice fields. I mean, heaven is a place on earth. It's in Bali.
Yep. I could not agree with you more. I've been twice, you know, side story, but I took my girlfriend over there in 2017, just as we were getting Parkit started. And we did about 10 days over there. And then we went up to Vietnam and went to Ha Long Bay. And to this day, the only thing she says that she regrets about that trip is not spending more time in Bali. the people there and the culture there is just so incredible and so welcoming that, you know, we're really excited that we're able to help Indonesia as a whole.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, having Bali as a home base to fly into and at some point go over to Biak and help plant trees and be a part of that, you know, it's something that we're really looking forward to.
It's a dream come true. Yeah. Yep. It's the next on my list. I can see myself going back to Bali over and over again. It doesn't get old. But you're right. It's the people there. It's the energy. And I'm really excited to hear that you're giving back in this way. And you've had already, what, 3,300 trees planted across Indonesia.
Yeah. The last numbers that I saw were that we've planted 3,400 trees. And then that was that update, I think I've received like the first or second week of August. And so we've had continued sales since then. And I'll probably have a new update number. We're hoping that we can get to 10,000 trees planted by the end of the year. That's our goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the upcoming fall and holiday season and with our mission and hopefully a return to normalcy with the end of COVID-19 potentially coming soon, you know, fingers crossed on that.
Yeah.
That we'll be able to play that Parkit will be able to play a part in one, returning people to that outdoor enjoyment that they love so much, and two, continue making the impacts around the world that we can through our Buy One, Plant One campaign.
It is great corporate social responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Let's talk about crowdfunding. Now, you delve into it in early 2017, and I'm sure you've learned tons about it since then. What advice or suggestion would you give anyone who is looking to start a crowdfunding just to raise money for their products?
Absolutely. You know, great question. So crowdfunding is, I think, one of the greatest advances that's ever occurred in terms of entrepreneurship. You know, it really gives entrepreneurs an opportunity to test their ideas. To one of the biggest issues that I've always had is, you know, you go watch the movie The Social Network, right? About the startup of Facebook.
Yeah.
And you see Mark Zuckerberg and his partner, Eduardo, and they're at Harvard and they're figuring it out and they realize they need more money, right? And they got to go get an investor, and then they got to go get another investor. And then the movie ends, spoiler alert, but you know, you can Wikipedia this as well, with Eduardo basically being pushed out of the company in a somewhat of a hostile takeover by the investors, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're starting a business and you've watched these movies, it's one of the fears that you have is that I'm going to have to go find an investor. Is that investor going to weed me out, or are they going to build up my dream? And Kickstarter eliminates that question. Crowdfunding allows you to like really be the captain of your ship. It allows you to get your product validated. Your idea, you know, is now loved by hundreds of, and sometimes even thousands of people. And you have that control, and you're able to then look at an investor with revenue and say, hey, Mr. Investor, we'd like to, you know, you go on Shark Tank and you get to look at Mark Cuban and say, hey, Mark, we've got $500,000 in sales. We did that over a 60-day period, and this is our valuation. You have hard numbers to push against an investor. And when you go into those conversations with that, I think, you know, from a business standpoint, that's one of the most powerful tools you can have in your arsenal. From a product design, you know, just like getting into Kickstarter, you know, some of the things that we learned right out the gates that you need to be implemented to really be successful in any Kickstarter is you need to build a community up front. And that's challenging, you know, like you need to be running Instagram. We were running Instagram a year and a half before we even mentioned that we had a product. You know, we were really driving home with people the idea of outdoor enjoyment and finding the activities that you love to do with the people that you love the most. And we built our community around the whole mantra of enjoy the exploration. And then we told everyone, hey, look at this. Here's a product coming. What do you guys think of this? And they were so jazzed to get behind it and so supportive of it. A lot of people doing a Kickstarter campaign, if they don't build that community up front and they don't really engage with that community, you're kind of just throwing mud at the wall and seeing what sticks. And you're hoping that, you know, your product gets built, is supported by the quick community that you built. So I would say, you know, time is your friend. Start building that community as early as possible and stay engaged with that community, because they're going to become your biggest advocates for your campaign and driving that success.
Well put. Yeah, I love that, having the community up front, because I was thinking you have to market differently because you don't have a physical product.
Mm-hmm.
With starting with crowdfunding. And so that was my next question is, as the marketing, you know, because you did marketing before getting into the trying to design the chair yourself, is, you know, some tips on for marketing for crowdfunding funding and mm-hmm. a startup. Now, that's one of them is the community up front. What else can one do?
Yeah. So the other thing that I would recommend for anyone who's looking to start a company, and you know, if you're new to marketing or you're an expert in marketing, it doesn't matter. You need to read the book, This Is Marketing by Simon Sinek. It's just hands down like the most perfect blueprint, I believe, in terms of how to market your brand and your business and your products in this new digital age. And the reason I say that is because, you know, just 10 years ago, if Nike came out with a new shoe, they plastered it all over billboards and threw it all over TV commercials, and they spoke at you, right? They weren't speaking with you. And with the transition of Facebook and Instagram and every other social media platform, the audience is now speaking to the brand, and the audience is telling the brand what they like. And like, you know, for example, for Parkit, we learned that our surfing content does a lot better than our rock climbing content. Well, what does that tell us? It tells us that our audience is engaging with us in this category. We should push this category. We should continue to push this category, right? And in that sense, you're having a dialogue with your audience about what you should be marketing and how you should be marketing to them. And the book goes on to talk about how what you're ultimately building is you're building an online tribe with your flag, your brand, kind of as the staple point of it. And these people, you know, like are part of that tribe. And so, you know, I would recommend reading that book for anyone who's getting interested into building their own brand and doing the marketing of their business. Again, it's This Is Marketing by Simon Sinek. In terms of what we did that I learned from my experience with Quiksilver and Oakley, it's really just, you know, the consistency and the level of execution and the alignment and authenticity in the messaging. If you're an outdoor brand and you're putting your chair and you're focusing on, you know, like car camping and fly fishing and throwing your boots on in the parking lot before you go snowboarding, it's not going to make sense for us to take a photo of it, of the chair on someone's deck patio. You know, that's alignment of our values and who we are, and that's going to confuse people. And so you want to understand what those parameters are and kind of live within those parameters of what your messaging tactics are going to be, and then identify where your audience is engaging with you the most and just keep doubling down on where they love you.
Yeah. Identifying that buyer persona.
Yep. 100%.
And then keep pushing for it and keep getting engaged and in their mind, really the positioning, the battle for your mind talks about that quite honestly. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. That's very insightful. I'm curious now. Tell us about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up and show up?
Yes. So the routine was very different before coronavirus, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But now that coronavirus is in play and we've been doing the kind of the not shelter in place, but you know, the social distancing for the better part of the last 6 months, the routine has changed a little bit. And in the sense, I think it's changed for the positive. With the lack of a commute, I'm able to focus more time and energy on myself versus, you know, just the drive.
Yeah.
And so my morning routine nowadays is typically it's a wake up at 5:30 to 6. I check the computer for emails between 6 and 6:30 to make sure that there's nothing that I missed overnight, because we have some partners with us overseas and they're working while we're sleeping. After that, at about 6:30, 6:45, I give it a wave check. I'm based here in San Diego and do a lot of surfing. And so I check the surf report real quick and see if there's anything I need to go ahead and get some physical exercise if needed. If I surf, then I'm in the water till about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. If I'm not, then, you know, it's right back to work with the coffee coming and feeding the dog. And I found that morning and just having that first instinct to check the email and make sure that everything's for the day, everything's set up for the day, it allows you to get an idea of what are the major priorities that I'm going to have to tackle today before, you know, the rest of the world is up. And that gives you a bit of a head start in terms of, you know, how you can orient your day. And, you know, if you do decide to go surf or to take that meditation piece into the puzzle in the morning as well, you know what you are kind of focusing your energy on during that practice. And so you're able to identify, you know, what's the best solution? Who's the person I can call? And versus just kind of getting into the thick of it very quickly, if that makes sense.
It does. So you're planning out the day before it even begins. And that will determine, okay, am I meditating or am I... if you're able to go surfing to get your exercise and get the blood flow going for more energy.
Yes. You know, like the thing about surfing is the number one disruptor to a routine. There's no way for me to kind of ignore that as someone who's been doing it for 15 years. You know, like if the waves are good, suddenly things go out the window and you're trying to get the best wave you possibly can. And then you have to come back and then you're playing catch up. And so the challenge for me in starting a business was figuring out that balance between recognizing that I need to take care of my own health and my wellness and get the blood flowing, as you so perfectly put, but also make sure that it doesn't distract from the big pieces of the picture that need to get put in place so that the business can thrive and so that the business can continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely a challenge. And in a way, I feel like the coronavirus and the elimination of the daily commute gave me more of the opportunity to take advantage of my morning and identify, all right, wake up at 5:30. These are the 7 things that need that came over from overseas overnight that we need to touch on. Some of these are 4 of these I can do now. 3 of these are really complicated. Let's go get a surf in. Let's think about them. Let's meditate on them. Let's understand like what the goal is in its entirety and figure out the best solution to get to it. And then, you know, you come back in at 9 o'clock and you're refreshed and ready to go. And you know what those problems are. You're not just discovering them at 9 o'clock and going into some form of panic mode, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. You're leading instead of reacting.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
You're not reactive. So have you been able to serve in the past 6 months with COVID?
Yes.
You need a mask?
No, we do not need a mask. There was a stint where they did shut down the beaches on us, which was a bit of a bummer. I couldn't figure it out. You know, they shut down golf courses and they shut down beaches. And I guess I can understand shutting down a golf course if you're sharing a cart with someone. But I'm like, most people where I live in Oceanside at the golf course that we go to called Goat Hill Park, it's a walkable course. You know, people don't drive around golf carts there that often. And I was like, why can't we just, you know, the things that you can do isolated, like, why can't we go do them? And they shut down the beaches and wouldn't let us surf. And that lasted for about 2 weeks before they turned that around. So, you know, I can't complain too much, but we've been able to get in the water. And for the first couple of weeks of COVID, the waves were actually really good. So that was kind of nice having the change and the crowds really empty just because of people not traveling and not being outdoors. And now, for the most part, I feel like if you go to the beaches, it's the same as it was before COVID.
Oh, yeah. Especially with this weekend, holiday weekend coming up.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend's coming, and I have a feeling it's going to look like Labor Day weekend 2019, 2018, 2017. You know, I advise for people to go out there and you know, be respectful. If you see someone wearing a mask, wear a mask near them. If the people you're with are comfortable, you know, with you and you guys know each other, then, you know, make the best decisions for what you guys are doing and don't disrespect the people that are making different decisions. You know, we're all entitled to our own opinion and our own thought process about it. And I think the most important thing we can do as citizens is respect each other's opinions.
Play your part. Yeah. Play your role, right? And do your 100%. Part so that we are staying safe and it doesn't increase anymore. We don't go on a watch list. We just got off the watch list.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
Stephen, this has been very, very insightful. Please tell us, how can we connect with you?
Yeah. So the best way to connect with us is going to be on www.parkitmovement.com. Parkit is one word, P-A-R-K-I-T. You can also find us on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @parkitmovement. And, you know, like, just engage with us in the comments on our post. Message us if you got questions. Feel free to reach out on our contact form on our website. If you've got any questions about the product or, you know, even ideas or suggestions to make the product better, we're always open to those. So, you know, just head on over to parkitmovement.com, get a look at our Voyager outdoor chair, and, you know, let us know what you guys think. We're excited to bring this company really to life in a proper retail sense when our first product run gets here. And it's going to be exciting.
That's great. Yeah. And this will be available, and it's, you can pre-order now, like, don't wait, and go check it out. And so I want to just brief recap, Stephen, for today. Really, you outlined the benefit is to actually start a community up front when you are thinking about, when you're starting, when you're doing any crowdfunding, make sure you have the backing of the community. And you started a year and a half before you actually had a product or mentioning of a product. And so I thought it was very insightful. And also, it's a great way, funding is a great way to test your product, see what the market research is, if people want it or are very interested in it. And I really, really appreciate your authenticity today. Thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure, and always great to connect with a fellow San Diegan. So, you know, hopefully when coronavirus is all over, we're able to connect in person and continue these conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.